I'm just going to speak for a few minutes this morning, and then we're going to break bread together. I just want to encourage everybody to stay for the lunch and get to meet the saints of God. It's one thing to praise and worship together. It's another thing to get to know each other on another level. That's so important for our fellowship. And according to the book of Acts, they did it all the time. In fact, the Bible says, as you see that day approaching, fellowship and assemble much more as you see those days approaching. So praise God. I'm going to say this title would be, To Be Like Jesus. A lot of times we sing that song, To Be Like Jesus, To Be Like Jesus, all I ask. You know that one? Is to be like Him. You ever heard that? Oh, I love that old chorus, To Be Like Jesus. But how do we get there is the question I have. And for the next few moments, I think we're going to look at this passage in Ezekiel. Actually, go to Ezekiel 47 first. We've got a few verses to read there. Because I do certainly want to see, in my quest of knowing God, how do I get to Him? How do I get to know Him? How do I be what He wants me to be? How can I be used of Him? How can I know the will of God? How can we do all these things? How can I be like Jesus? And in Ezekiel 47, we see here a vision that's given to this prophet Ezekiel. And we'll pick it up in verse 1. When you're there, say amen. And afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house and at the south side of the altar. Then brought me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate, by the way that looketh eastward, and behold, there ran waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles. Again he measured 1,000, and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. And again he measured 1,000, and brought me through the waters were to the loins. And afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Son of man, hast thou seen this? It's a question for us all today. Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. And when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees, on the one side and on the other. And he said unto me, These waters issue toward the east country, and go down into the desert, and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, wheresoever the rivers shall come, shall live. And there shall be a great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither. For they shall be healed, and everything shall live whether the river cometh. And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon from En-Gedi even to En-Eglaim, and they shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, and exceeding many. But the miry places thereof, and the marshes thereof, shall not be healed. They shall be given to the salt by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that, shall grow all trees for meat, those whose leaves shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. Now I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 14. We'll look at a few verses there. But this is talking about the river. Obviously, it's talking about the river. The river that was coming out of the sanctuary of the temple in a vision that God gave Ezekiel. There's much to be learned from that this morning, but I want us to know that the Holy Spirit is a type of that river. And as it was going out 1,000 cubits in one direction and 1,000 cubits in one direction, I want you to imagine that from this sanctuary and from the pulpit and from the altar, if this building or this house of God, if the Holy Spirit would be poured out in 1,000 cubits in every direction, how it would move and how the gospel would move and how the power of God would move. And we need to see that vision in our own hearts and lives. Amen? We need to see the vision of a temple and of a sanctuary that is absolutely full and filled with the Spirit of the living God, which is that river. On the day of Pentecost, we see that Jesus totally filled His church. The church was holy, it was righteous, it was divine, it was reverent, it was miraculous. That church was powerful. The church went everywhere. And I want to say this, the church that God raptures will be no less glorious than the church that He started with. Mark it down. The baptism of the Holy Ghost completes the union and brings us back where we belong. We can now understand why we were born again. A man that's really filled with the Holy Spirit understands why he was born again in the first place. But we've made the thing absolutely optional, and we've not insisted upon it. And that's what I want to help you guys with today for just a few minutes this morning. Mark this down. I believe it's imperative, as imperative, that a born-again believer be filled with the Holy Ghost as it is for an unregenerate man to be born again, because you're absolutely incomplete until God has come to live in the temple that He purchased by the blood of Jesus. And we're not fully complete in God or in Christ until that happens. Now I'm going to explain that for just a second. I'm not belittling or I'm not putting anything else. I'm preaching the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But I want you guys to know the necessity of the revelation of Jesus Christ depends upon God's fullness working through all the way through the Scriptures. I've talked about it here for about the last 2 or 3 weeks, and I want to make it a little bit more plain today. If you turn, we'll look at the words of Jesus Christ in John 14:16. When you get there, say amen. Might be doing a little bit more teaching than preaching today, but that's okay. 16:14 says, "And I will pray to the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter." Are you with me? "That He may abide with you forever." God, Jesus, God the Father, through Jesus Christ, is saying, I'm going to pray that God gives you another Comforter. In verse 17, "even the Spirit of truth," okay, "whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." Who was going to be with you? Who was with them right at that time? Christ was with them. Who was going to be in you? Christ was going to be in you. How was He going to be in them? By the Holy Spirit. By the Comforter, which is revealed in the text. Christ is going to be magnified within the individual in not many days hence, in a powerful way, as the Comforter comes from the Holy Spirit to touch them. Verse 18, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Isn't that a good word today, to know that God has not left us alone, even when we feel like we are alone? But the Comforter is going to come, and He's going to comfort us. "I will come to you," the Lord God says. Verse 19, "Yet a little while, and the world seeth Me no more, but ye see Me. Because I live, ye shall live also." And I want to tell you that truly living is being filled with Jesus Christ. Amen. You don't know anything about life. I didn't know anything about life going from Acapulco to Cancun to Puerto Vallarta to all the clubs and the pubs and the bars and the VIP clubs and the bathrooms where they're doing drugs and the dance clubs and standing on stages with all these people half-dressed or whatever. I thought that was really living life. I thought that was really the way to do, to find the biggest and the best and the best parties on planet Earth. And I did everything I could to be at them. And I did everything I could to be VIP when I got there. But what I'm telling you today is way bigger than this. Amen? It says, do you want life also? Because I live, you shall live also. I found way more in resurrection power in Jesus Christ than I ever found in this world. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
Verse 20 says this, and at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. In that day when you receive the Comforter, you're going to know that I'm in my Father, and you're now in me, and I'm in you. Go to verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, in Jesus' name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Everything that Jesus began to both do and teach is going to be brought out by the mission and the power and the purpose of the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Ghost. Can you see it in the Scripture? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I want you to hear me this morning. I believe I can prove to you conclusively how foolish we've been to abandon this great truth about the Holy Spirit, how we've diminished it, how we've been afraid and fearful of this Holy Spirit, which is going to lead and guide us into all truth. It's also, I'm going to preach this in a few weeks, if the Lord gives it to me in a greater power, but just how important it is in the days that are coming that you operate in the Spirit that is all truth. In a world of deception, listen, I just want to give a little advertisement for what I'm going to preach. The Bible says in the book of Revelation that if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. That means everybody outside of the very elect will be deceived. The Bible says in another place, that old dragon who hath deceived the whole world. Okay? The devil, the Antichrist, the false prophet, the church. You guys, we're in the end times, okay? That is all happening. I'm going to start to expose that in the upcoming weeks, just what that looks like as we go into the seven churches of Asia. You are not going to want to miss it because it'll be lights out in here. This will be the place to be, like Ray said. You're not going to want to miss it. But we need the Holy Spirit to turn the search engine and turn the light on so people know what's going on. Amen? The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He will lead and guide you into some truth. A-double-L. All truth. You need the Holy Ghost to keep the lights on. Amen? You need the Holy Spirit, the power of God, the dunamis, to be working. We've made it optional. You know what? I find this interesting. You go to a church that advertises, listen, we'll be in and out in an hour. Pastor will never break a sweat. We promise you that no gifts will operate in the service. We promise you, it's in our doctrine somewhere. We believe it somewhere. It's on our website. You can find it if you look far. But in the church, there'll be no gifts or operation moving, no moving of the Holy Spirit. Guess what? Those churches are really popular. Those churches are getting bigger and growing and growing and growing. The sad thing is, every ounce of the Holy Spirit in its fruits and in its spirit are to reveal Jesus Christ to the world. And if we really want to be like Jesus Christ, we cannot do without the third person of the Trinity. We're grieving the Holy Spirit to not allow the Holy Spirit to move in our hearts, in our lives, in our sanctuaries, and in our sanctuary, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen? We need Jesus Christ to come in such a powerful way. I'm going to give you a few scriptures. I'm going to wing right through them, okay? Hang on as you can, okay? Ephesians 5:18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein it is excess. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't be drunk on wine. Somebody say amen. Methusko. That means not even to be inebriated. Look it up. Study the Greek. That's exactly what it means. Don't even be inebriated. Buzz driving is drunk driving. It says it on the road out there, okay? Don't even be inebriated. Okay, that's what methusko means. Okay, but be filled. I want you to be inebriated with something. Okay, I want you to be intoxicated with something. And here's what I want you to be intoxicated with, Holy Spirit people. I want you to be filled with the
Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. I want you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want you to be so full of God and on fire that you are literally full of God. Amen. Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and into Judea, and in Samaria, and into the uttermost part of the earth. Acts 19, just one verse, verse 2. And he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since you believed? I want to ask every single person in this room, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we've not so much heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. But church, we need the Holy Ghost. And I'm here to tell the church, and I'm here to tell the Northeast Nebraska, and I'm here to tell the six-state listening area, and I'm here to tell the world that we need the Holy Ghost if we're to make it to the end. Amen? We're going to need the power of the Lord Jesus Christ if we're going to make it to the end with great power in overcoming victory. Amen? Church, we can't negate this thing. Now, media, I used to be an advertising guy, and what we used to do is create an appetite to sell goods. Okay? I want to create an appetite in the church this morning that the Holy Ghost baptism is not something that you can miss out on. It's something that you need in your life. The Holy Ghost is more than an experience. It's the Spirit of life. How many of you guys want to experience life?
Amen.
I mean, really experience life. Do you guys want to have life and life more abundant? Man, I'm telling you. Go to Romans 8:2, Melissa, if you would. Romans 8:2. What I guys want you guys to see is everything that this world is looking for. It's all searching for something. I've searched the world over. I thought I found true love. We're searching everywhere. We're searching high and low for something. Everyone's searching. They have this void on the inside of their heart, on the inside of their soul. It's empty without Jesus Christ. Every person that was created was made to be filled with the Creator. Okay? And if you're not filled with the Creator, you're empty. If you're not born again, you're not saved. You're lost. You're empty. You're miserable. You're trying to make it the best way you know how. But outside of Christ, that doesn't work. But there's this law of the Spirit of life, which is in Jesus Christ, which is in Christ Jesus. There's a law of life, okay? The law of life is what James said earlier this morning. You want to find grace? He has a name, Jesus. Amen? The law of the Spirit of life is in Jesus Christ, and He hath made me free from the law of sin and death. He has set me free by the power of God. So if you really want life and life more abundant, you've got to go to Jesus. What the law couldn't do, the Spirit did. The Bible says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. All you have to do is read the book of Acts to realize what we need is Jesus. And I'm going to have to really hustle here in 5 minutes to produce an entire sermon, okay? But what I want you guys to get at is this. Every single one of us is a sanctuary. We're a sanctuary. Now that Holy Spirit in Ezekiel 47 is supposed to flow out of that sanctuary. That Holy Spirit was going to flow in such a mighty powerful way. It was going to touch the world around them. I want you guys to see that for it to be a sanctuary and for you to be a sanctuary, it has to be a sacred, separated, and holy and a divine place. In the sense of a believer coming to Jesus Christ and having his sins washed away, he becomes a sanctuary. That sanctuary becomes an open possibility for God. We have to be separated from the sinful and the common uses. The second thing about a sanctuary is we need to be dedicated to God and belong exclusively to God. In other words, lordship salvation. We need Jesus Christ to be our Lord, our King. We will follow Him. He's our friend, but we are just sold out to Jesus Christ. And number three about a sanctuary is it must be occupied by God to be filled with Him as the possessor. So Christ wants to take us in His sanctuary and He wants to fill us to the fullness. You are the sanctuary. You're a holy body. And this is what God wants to do. And every single one of us, if you really want to be a greater blessing or a greater witness, you have to follow the pattern that we see in Ezekiel 47. I believe it's verse 3 or verse 4. It starts to talk about in that passage, Ezekiel 47. You don't have to turn there. We already read it. But it talks about water up to the ankle. It talks about water up to the ankle. And then he went another 1,000 cubits and he was wading through the water, and the Holy Spirit, the water was flowing up to his, to now it was up to his knee. And I believe that this speaks about a Christian that has found his knees. He's found Jesus Christ, and now he's beginning to pray and the power, and he's beginning to feel it come up to his knees. And all of a sudden you look in verse 5 there, and it talks about the water is increasing as he begins to pray and begins to seek God. And now what's happening is he's got water up to his waist. He's got water up to his loins, it said. The Holy Spirit now in its power is coming up to this man's loins. And this is the power of the Spirit. The Bible says, gird up the loins of your mind with truth. The Bible says, let your lower lights be burning. It says, let your loins be filled with God in another place. And then it says here, after we go to the loins, the fourth depth was this, waters that were deep enough to swim in. It was power that these people were moving in. It was a current that began to flow. We used to water ski, Melvin, on the Missouri River all the time growing up. And if you went against the current and Dad hit it hard enough, you just pop right up on your skis because you're working against the current. You're going to pop right up. Well, what we have to find out in the spiritual realm is that we can use the current and the power of that river, which is the Holy Spirit, to lead, to guide, to steer, to move us in the direction that we have to go. And I guarantee you, if you're sitting in the middle of the Missouri River, you're not going to stay still very long. Is it 7 or 11 mile per hour or something? 7? One of the fastest moving rivers in the world. Missouri River moving along right there, 7 miles per hour. You just sit there, you can't stay there stationary, it's going to move you. And what you need to do in your spirit realm is to get into this water and to begin to move out to the ankle, to the knee, to the loins, and begin, if you get in a little farther, if you step into the water, amen? If you wade out a little bit deeper, Jesus Christ is going to meet you in that moment. He is moving through the Holy Spirit. And guess what? You're going to get wet. You're going to get full. Amen. You're going to begin to move into this Spirit. And in verse 9, Ezekiel 47:9, it says this, that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live, shall have life. Did you ever notice how Jesus healed everybody he touched? Jesus had the Spirit upon him without measure, it says. The dove rested upon him. He had the Spirit without measure. Acts 10:38 said he went about doing good, healing all of them that were oppressed of the devil, for the Holy Spirit was with him. The Holy Spirit was on Jesus. You shall live, and there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed. Healing is going to come out of Jesus Christ. Fish, multitudes, people are going to get saved as we dip into this river. There's going to be bucketfuls. We're going to cast out nets, and we're going to be pulling in the power of God is going to be pulling in salvation of souls. Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, preaches under the power, and how many people get saved? 3,000? And then 5,000? Can you see that they had the fullness of God? They had the might and the power of that river at their disposal, moving in them. And it says, everything that shall live where the river comes. The river brings the revelation of Jesus Christ. It brings the revelation of the Lord. Today, God is searching you. He's searching me. He's searching Northeast Nebraska. He's searching the state of Nebraska. He's searching the whole realm to see how many people are interested in moving in the power. Not by might, not by intellect, not by reasoning, not by the carnal mind. The carnal man can't receive anything from God. But people that are willing to move by the Holy Spirit. John chapter 4 says, the time is coming and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For God is a spirit, amen? Amen. And he seeketh such to worship him. He seeketh such to worship him in spirit and in truth. He's seeking to reveal his power and his strength to our children and our children's children. Church, we need Jesus. There's an old story, and I'll probably close with this. There was an old sheik back in the desert. Many, many years ago, he was bringing a bridal gift to his would-be wife, and he had two hearts. Two hearts. That's what they called dear back then. H-A-R-T. And they had them, and they weren't even walking. These camels had a caravan. They had the hearts that riding in there because they were a gift. And they were cutting across these barren deserts. And all of a sudden, their water began to get scarce. They didn't know what to do. They knew they were in deep trouble. You have the heat of and the wild of the desert and everything else. So they decided to do this. He took those hearts out, and he let those hearts loose. And all of a sudden, their little noses pricked right up. And if it was like a beeline, they could smell what they were so desiring. They needed to drink of living water. They needed, and they beelined a straight direction. All of a sudden, the horses followed right on them, and then the camels began to follow. And it wasn't 2.5 or 3 hours later, they could smell it from that far away. They sought out a pool of water and began to refresh. And sure enough, then the horses got there. Then the camels got there. And every single person that found that living water was able to drink and be satisfied. But what does that tell us? The Bible tells us, I believe it's Psalm 42. Can you put that up there for me? It tells us something that we need to remember this morning. I pray that this is the right passage. It's coming from memory. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you have a desire for the things of God? Do you have a desire for the holy things of God? Put the next verse up there if you would. So my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before my God? Church, God is seeking a people that are seeking Him. He's seeking a people. This is all that I've heard from the Holy Spirit in the last 6 to 8 months. Seek my face. Don't seek Twitter, Facebook, or any other thing. Don't be looking to see what other pastors are saying. Aaron, if you want to be tuned in, you seek one thing in one person. Guess who I need to be looking at? Jesus. Look at Jesus. And come to me as if I am the only way to be satisfied on earth. Because I'm the only one that can give you living water. I'm the only one that can satisfy you. I'm the only one that can meet the need of you. I'm the only one that can touch the desire in your life that is empty and void and vain without me. Church, we need the Holy Spirit. And the wonderful thing about the entirety of finding Jesus is no heart that ever came ever left unfilled. No heart that ever came to Jesus Christ. Let that heart come to the place where Jesus Christ is, and it shall be filled. Jesus Christ stood and he said, come unto me, all ye that thirst, and drink, and out of your belly shall flow a river of living water. And this he spoke of the Spirit. Church, I'm going to get into this message at a different time. I'm just touching around it and kicking it this morning. But I do know that there's a thirst in this room this morning because God had us to speak and to preach and to give the gospel message even during the worship service.